Gatha Radhakun and Bhavalastami. But we should know, what does it mean to really take bath? Once Srila Prabhupada went for the Kumbh Mela, one of the big Kumbh Melas, when he was there. And there's a very auspicious muhurta, a very auspicious time to take bath. And Prabhupada went and took bath at that time. Excuse me, the devotees went, and they had to shove and fight to get their way into the water, and they got a bucket of water, and they brought it back to Prabhupada, and they gave it to Prabhupada for Prabhupada's bath. And Prabhupada took his bath, and all the devotees were waiting. He said, so Prabhupada, how was your bath? It was a bath. So, it doesn't mean such a thing. We don't have the qualification yet. Okay, are there any questions or comments about this last verse? We've only got 20 minutes. I'd like to just kind of go over everything.
What did you? If one takes bath in radical, not
in the right consciousness, or that makes some offense,
there will be a reaction.
If we do some offense at Radhakun, if we take bath in the wrong consciousness, I would take it to mean if we take bath in an offensive mentality, if we take bath kicking in the water, we're criticizing some Vaishnavas, we're doing some bad thing, then we'll get some adverse reaction. But we'll also get some mixture, we'll also get something good. Just like if you chant the holy name, even if you're committing a nama parad, it's not that the people who chant the holy name only do it once or twice, but they're committing some offense, are worse off than people who never chant the holy name. They're better off. But they may also get some of the reaction for chanting with offense, especially if they know the 10 offenses. So similarly, we may get some reaction like that. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't go. But what it means is that when we go, we should do with a certain mentality, a certain behavior. And that's why Varaha Purana and other literatures, they describe different rules for taking bath in sacred waters. That's why we wrote that article which we distributed to everybody. If we follow that, it's okay. Rupa Goswami says we should take bath. Prabhupada says everyone should take bath. Now, how you take bath, whether you want to do it dipping the water and pouring over your head, if you want to go inside, that's between you and Guru. But everyone should take bath. Prabhupada writes that in his books. And he says it's a very important regulative principle. A very, very important thing. But when we do it, we should do it in the proper way. Be careful. Anything else, Guruji?
Did Prabhupada ever take his disciples and used to bathe at Radhakun?
I never heard anything about that. Has anyone else heard of Prabhupada taking bath at Radhakun with the devotees? I never heard of that. Okay. So, maybe we should just start with any questions anybody has or comments, anything? Anybody's angry after? You should control your anger. Krodha Vega. Don't be angry at the teacher. Which article? Yes, it's beautiful. Really, really nice thing. Srila Prabhupada told Gaugamini Maharaj that he wanted him to preach to the devotees. And Maharaj told us that we should help uphold the prestige of Prabhupada's society. And he said the way to do that is to have nice Harikatha and nice Vaishnava dealings. So we're trying to do that, try to have some nice Krishna Katha in the new magazines. And we'd like to try to help support VIUCI and different important projects like this. Okay, anything else? So...
two classes back, we had discussed that you should not criticize Vaishnavas.
Criticize
any Vaishnava.
Yes.
That we don't do. But somebody is trying to honestly provoke us. What should we do? How do we react?
We read about that from Mahabharata, how if someone says something bad about you, especially if it's not true, that's really good. You should think like that. You should think, oh, this is a great opportunity. This person is so kind. I have so much sin. I have so much bad karma and things. And this person is so nice to me. He's going to come and take it all away from me. And not only that, but he's going to give me his own pious activities, the fruits of them. That's such a nice thing. But you only get that benefit if you forgive them. And you don't take offense to it. Therefore, Shiva's Thakur, he taught us. And when Gopal Chappa put those nasty things outside of his door, he didn't go out there and say, "Hey, who did this? What bogus person is trying to tell lies about me? This is not true. I'm a pure Vaishnava. I never do like this." He didn't do that. He called everybody and said, "Hey, everyone come. See what I do every night." But we can't tolerate that. Of course, sometimes so that doesn't mean that we should be a masochist and just wanting to suffer or something. If sometimes for the service of our Gurudev, we may have to say, "No, this is not true. I didn't do this thing." But generally speaking, Vaishnava is one who doesn't defend himself. Why should we defend ourselves if someone's coming and criticizing us? If they want to believe that, fine, what's it to me? I know what's true. My Gurudev knows what's true. Krishna knows what's true. We should tolerate. It's an important point. Is that okay?
Yesterday we both faced a problem here in the temple actually. We both. So we were just thinking what we should have done. It was really this thing. Just somehow we controlled and...
It's very hard to have...
Very difficult. So today again... I was totally disturbed. How should I react?
There's a kind of...
It was very easy to say, that yes, you should control.
Yes.
But at the moment, because it was no fault of us, and somebody is just trying to treat us very badly, so...
There's a kind of natural, dynamic tension between the practices of Vaishnavism and institutions. Those two things. There's a kind of natural, dynamic tension because... Krishna says in the Gita that someone who's sincere about spiritual life, he should keep away from the common people and go to some quiet, lonely place. But we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to work with the devotees and preach, and we want to do that. It's Prabhupada's instruction. So we should do that. But it's difficult because we're preaching to so many non-devotees, and then they come to the temple and they join the temple. And sometimes they're still maybe non-devotees. We're still non-devotees, maybe after some years. So it's hard for us. But that's the kind of austerity that we do for Srila Prabhupada. But if we do that with some maturity, understanding that, okay, just like a parent or some older person, naturally they become wise, and that wisdom includes the understanding that children or younger people, sometimes they do things which are a little stupid, and which they don't really mean, and you shouldn't hate the child, you shouldn't hate that younger person for that thing. That's wisdom. So we should also become wise for Prabhupada's society and not be so quick to offend. We should just tolerate. But it's not always easy. He said, but that means it's a test. And Krishna is so kind that he's not just giving us one test. We failed this test, and he gives us another test, and we failed that one. We failed 1,000 tests. We failed 1,000,000 tests. But still, he's so kind, he's giving us another test. After that, it's not that he's going to say, "Okay, that's it, no more tests. You flunk. You're kicked out." Okay. What did you?
I have a couple things that have happened that we've heard again over the years. One devotee was saying how much he's progressed himself in spiritual life. I guess a lot of
this. How much?
How much we ourselves have progressed from the time we've come. And he said it was because someone died really well. And he said, "So now that I've progressed," he said, "then someone else coming, I have to exhibit that same tolerance towards them." And then there were a couple of stories too about Prabhupada who encouraged people. It was Shamsundar, was first carving Jagannath. And he used to put his pack of cigarettes on the tree as he was carving. And Prabhupada said, "You need to smoke." And he said, "I'm sorry, Prabhupada, I can't give it up." He said, "Well, then just take it outside and do it there."
He was putting it on top of the deity.
Yeah,
he was
carving. Prabhupada would say, "If you really need to do that, could you just go inside?"
What a wonderful example.
So, but the point is true. We really forget how much we've been purified.
Yes, ourselves. That's such a good example. If Prabhupada hadn't tolerated all those things, where would we be now?
One person, this Prabhu was doing aarti yesterday evening. Yesterday, one devotee came, he took two fingers, he just poked. Just doing nothing actually. He was doing arti. Somebody is coming, he is a devotee in the temple, he is working in the temple. He just took two fingers, just poked them deep heart inside this thing. He is saying, why are you doing in front of me? Just go back and do it. Heavy rush, where is he going to stand? He is not going to stand outside the temple and do it. When he told me, I got scared. I wanted to see that person and give him the lesson. This is humanity.
But we should understand.
This is not
Vaishnava. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano. Our spiritual life begins and we tolerate. And we think, oh, we should think, I must have done something to that person in a previous life. I did some bad thing. We should always see some fault in ourselves. But instead we think, that person's not a Vaishnava. They're bogus. They're doing. It doesn't mean that we should tolerate when we see another Vaishnava being offended. But it also doesn't mean in a case like that you should go and punch him in the nose. Something. Why did you do that to the devotee? That's not right. We also, when we tolerate ourselves, we also have to tolerate on behalf of our guru and other devotees. Sometimes devotees, you offended my guru, I'll spit in your face. We have to also cooperate in a society. If someone really offends our guru, you can cut out their tongue, you can kill them, you can commit suicide. But those activities are not very much appreciated in society today. A better thing is if you can defeat them in argument, but that means, as we said before, you make them mum. And if you can't do that, then the general course is just leave them alone and just don't associate with them again. And that's powerful. I experienced some years ago, one devotee, who was a former sannyasi actually, he came up and started, someone introduced me as a disciple of my Guru Maharaj, and this person started saying very, very bad things about my Guru Maharaj to my face. And I just, I just said, I'm very sorry, I have to go. And I just left. And then he realized something that he'd done. And I saw him a few times after that, and I never said anything. And then a few days later, he came running up to me, and he grabbed my feet, and he said, please forgive me. I'm like, I didn't do anything. I didn't defeat him. I didn't argue with him. I didn't have to. I just humbly walked away from him. And that's also powerful. If we do that, then people will feel something. Of course, if we angrily walk away, like this, that may not have the same effect either. That's all kind of a quarreling with them also. But these things are given for the purification of everyone. And we should understand, where do we draw the line? We're offering some lap to the deity, and we're trying to think of Krishna, and then some rude person comes up and shoves us in the ribs, and hey, and it disturbs us, so we can't do our meditation, we can't do our puja that we're doing. But where do we draw the line? There's always someone coming up and sticking their fingers in our ribs, and it's not some person, it's the weather, or it's the government, or it's the speakers in Vrindavan Parikrama when you're walking around playing this thing. Where do we draw the line? Therefore, Shastra tells us that when these things come, and they will come, our course is that we have to tolerate them. And if we tolerate these things over and over again, it's very, very good for our bhakti. It's not easy, but that's where we begin. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, we read this purport from Dabha Kanta, he says that those persons, when faced with the results of their own previous karma, when faced with the results, the fruits of their own previous karma, if they can't tolerate that, they fall down and they again take up material life. Because we commit some offense to the devotees. We don't know. Maybe that person who shoved him in the ribs, maybe it really wasn't a temple devotee. Maybe it wasn't. You don't know. Maybe it was Krishna, who manifested the form exactly like that temple devotee. And he came there, shoved his fingers just to...
Just by wearing this saffron coat, that doesn't mean he just become pure devotee or something.
No, it doesn't. But we should act, Prabhupada says, we should act according to our position. If we're a temple leader, we're a GBC or sannyasi, and we see someone do like that, then we have a right, we have an obligation to go up and, hey, why are you doing that? Nonsense. Don't do that thing. You have an obligation for that. But I'm not a temple leader. If the leader sees that,
if
he sees that thing, they have some responsibility to do that. But we should act according to our position. Otherwise, we'll never stop fighting. We'll be fighting our whole life. And there's some people who never, that's what they're doing their whole life. They're just fighting. And we should think about another thing. When something happens like that, that's a material thing. We could say it may be Krishna doing it, but let's just say it wasn't Krishna. We don't know. Just like Gorkha Shodas Babaji once, some boys in Nabadweep started throwing stones at him. Nonsense thing. Gorkha Shodas Babaji's a sadhu. And those nonsense boys are throwing rocks at him. Now what did he do? He started shouting at them. Chastising them. It's good. And you know what he said? Hey Krishna, why are you doing this? I'm going to tell Mother Yashoda on you. That's Krishna consciousness. Maybe if you turn and told that to the Brahmachari, Krishna, why are you doing this thing? It's not right. Maybe he'll we'll have some realization. But where do we draw the line? It's always going to be something.
The same situation we could take as an example. If it happens to us, we tolerate. But when it happens to another devotee,
aren't we supposed to defend? That's what I was mentioning. You know, at the same time, if I'm his friend and I'm standing and I see some brahmachari doing it, doesn't mean that I should go punch him in the nose and say, "Well, I read an Upadeshamrita." The first Hanuman became very angry, and Arjun became very angry. We should also think. Prabhupada says about utsahan. What is utsahan? Krishna
consciousness.
Endeavor. Endeavor in Krishna consciousness with proper intelligence. So we should have some proper intelligence, and it should be Krishna conscious. You should understand. So Prabhupada says we have to tolerate many things in the society. But obviously someone's going to be like that. Or if I went there every night, and every night that I went there, some fellow's coming and sticking his fingers in my ribs, I would either go to some other part of the temple where he didn't do that, or I wouldn't go there. I would at least avoid his association. I would offer it real quick. That's practical. We have to go on. If we take offense to everybody over every little thing.
Such people should be thrown away from the temple.
But as Mataji's saying, where do we draw the line? Maybe he should be thrown out of the temple, but maybe I should be thrown out of the temple. And maybe you should be thrown out of the temple. What does Krishna think? It's described that on one occasion, Arjun.
They are the most rowdy people there, and always create trouble there. And they talk loudly, they don't.
Yes, it's true. It's true. I know. But if we don't tolerate, how will we go on? There's a story that we heard once that once Arjun, he went to the heavenly planets, and when he was there, he wanted to see his son, who was killed unfairly in battle. What was his name?
Abhimanyu.
That's it, Abhimanyu. And Abhimanyu was there. And Arjun was so ecstatic. My son, and he went to embrace him. And Abhimanyu, he said, "Father, if you don't mind, could you please stand a little ways away? A very bad odor coming from you." Because Arjun, he's coming from this material world, and of the beings in this world, we can't tell it here, but to someone from the heavenly planets, we smell very, very bad. And even his son, "Father, please excuse me, but could you stand over there a little ways away?" So we feel that way, and it's a fact. I'm not denying that it's wrong. It's not right. It's a bad thing. But at the same time, this is Christ says in the Bible, that he who is without sin casts the first stone. By Krishna's standard, we're all a bunch of beasts. By the standard of Srila Prabhupada, by the standard of the sadhus, we're all a bunch of beasts. So we have to tolerate. We should see the purpose of Prabhupada's society. So, it's 2:30. We can mention a few things. Is there anything that we should cover in Upadeshamrita? You can just ask if any questions or anything. Anybody has? Bye. Prabhupada, we can just go over a couple of small things just in a minute or two. Prabhupada says a very nice thing in the preface of this book, which indicates in the preface how we can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. What is that statement? Does anybody remember? Yes, advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. So when we get some situation like that, when someone comes and they poke us in the ribs or something, we can actually make more advancement. Because we should be so tolerant like a tree. If we can tolerate that and not be disturbed by that thing, then we can make some advancement. But it depends on the attitude of the follower. Right? So, we spoke a little bit about Vachavega Manasakrota Vegam. Prabhupada, in his purport, he speaks about demands of the mind. Does anybody know, Hare Krishna Maharaj, does anybody know what those demands are? There's two demands. One is restricted and one's unrestricted. I don't know if anybody remembers the Sanskrit for that. Excuse me? There's two demands of the mind. And Prabhupada speaks about manasa, krodavegam. Mm-hmm. There's two demands of the mind. What are those things?
Aviroda priti and viroda yukta krodha.
Viroda yukta krodha. Which means? Someone else say?
Unrest.
Anyone else? Tamarashi is very good.
I'm saying for.
Okay. You can read from there.
Unrestricted attachment and
anger
arising from frustration.
So, anyway, we'll conclude here. But we should see how this Upadeshamrita, there's some connection going through the whole thing. And if we go all the way up to the 11th verse, and we're just saying, if you take bath at Radhakrishna, you don't get Krishna Prem in the mood of the gopis at that time. It means we have to start the book again from the first verse. But we should see how there's some cycle there. But how Rupa Goswami, he's given this book for us. Don't think of this book as only meant for Babaji's at Radhakund, or this book is only meant for very advanced Vaishnavas. This book is meant for us, and all the parts of the book are meant for us, all the way up to the 11th verse, because that way we have some understanding, we have some idea of what is artha prabhriti in the language of Shiva Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. We have some direction that we can go in. So, I wanted to pass out this. This is a Upadeshamrita open book assignment, which Krishna Kun put together very nicely a few days ago. It was ready actually days ago, but there was some confusion and it wasn't made ready. Could you hand this out to everybody? And so otherwise, we want to thank everybody very much for tolerating us. Please forgive us for our offenses. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrīla Rūpa Goswāmī Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrī Upadeshamrita ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki jai, Bhakti Prema Nanda.